about the value that God himself places on women. And when I spoke at Sister Herder said that we have been given a mandate by God as women to place value on women. That is what we are going to build. That is how we build again in this new season. Okay. But I also said this, and I think this is a really important note to make. You can't place value on women if you don't inherently believe that women are valuable. And so we need to journey through scripture to understand and have a revelation, a deep knowing, a supernatural knowing of the value God himself places on women. And we see that beautifully through the life of Jesus, who came as a revolutionary in that very thing. And so we've been journeying through some of these stories, looking at how Jesus interacted with women, drawing from these stories so that we can, I pray, have a revelation of the value God places on women, so that what we can do with that is give that away. We can minister that. Remember, ministry is to take what you have been given, the gift that God gives you, in this case, a revelation that we are valuable to him as women on the earth, and then minister that, give it away. Take what we have and give it away. And so, you know, I've been reading and thinking and reading and thinking, and there were many things that I wanted to bring to you this morning. And so you've been reading about where Jesus turns the water to wine, he interacts with his mother, and reading about other women like Mary Magdalene in the New Testament. But you know what? I just wanted to bring this home this morning to just have a personal moment with you and just share some of the things that God has done and perhaps is still doing in my heart. But so I'm going to digress a little bit, but it all kind of lands on this idea that I am valuable, you are valuable, and we have something to minister in that. And if you don't know this, Dylan turns 40 on Friday. So it's obviously a big, significant moment and milestone for him, but also in our family. 40 is not something I believe that we just, you know, step into. It is a very significant number in the Bible. It's a generational transition. It carries a lot of weightiness just in its expression. I'm so sorry, guys. My child is messaging me incessantly. I'm about to lose it. And, okay, I'm just going to ignore that and regroup. Anyway, so he's turning 40. It's a significant thing. It's a move. There's a move into a new decade, a new way. It's a really important moment. And I felt all along that we should not, as a family, should not miss this moment. And as a church, we're not going to miss this moment to usher him in and, you know, celebrate him into this new stage of life. There may be elements of midlife that he may be wrestling with, but we're going to partner with a better word, a greater blessing that God has and wants to speak over him and release that. So I've obviously been thinking about our life together, our story, the fact that we have over 20 years of friendship and dating and marriage, and I think it's close to 25 years actually, probably 23. And there's a lot, you know, when you look back at 23 years, you think, wow, like that's a lot of time. Hello, Nick. That's a lot of memories. That's a lot of journeying. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of wrestling. And there's so much that I can say, obviously, and I want to. But one of the things that I've been thinking about is that, you know, one of the titles that I carry in my life is Dylan's wife. Now, I am a woman, and I am a daughter, and I am a sister, and I am Tess, and I get it. We have our own personal identity, but then there is this identity, there is this title of Dylan's wife. And, you know, for many years, I really wrestled with that. I didn't want to be known as Dylan's wife, Dill's wife. Hey, this is Dill's wife, Tess. I mean, I when I say I wrestled with it, it really was something that I found quite painful. Like, why can't I just be recognized as Tess? Like, do people not value me as me? And really had to go to God. Honestly, that's what I've done, I realize, over this last decade of my life, is I've gone to God with this thing that I've been struggling with. Like, I want to be more than Dylan's wife. And I say that respectfully. Yeah? You're going to see where I'm going now. And just as I've been thinking about our story and looking at ways to celebrate him, I realized literally this morning, driving somewhere, I was driving behind him. He needed to drop a car off and I was going to fetch him. So there was just this like supportive role of, you know, following and coming alongside him. And I realized, I'm so grateful for that title. Like, I'm so grateful that I'm known. One of the things I will be known for is that I was Dylan's wife. And I realized that there has been a great transition and growth in me, but I didn't get there because he of Dylan. I got there because of God and a revelation that I am valuable. Then it doesn't matter about the titles. It doesn't matter about what people call me. I have a great issue, genuinely, like I struggle with it, and I get people and labels and all the things, but I actually genuinely have an issue with being called a pastor's wife. Like, hey, this is Tess, she's the pastor's wife. I'm like, it's really the only place that we address people in that way. Like, we don't say, oh, hey, this is so-and-so, she's the doctor's wife, or hey, this is Jane, she's the lawyer's wife. But in church, it's the pastor's wife. And then there's this label and persona and expectation attached to that. And I have struggled with it, and I still do. I don't think it's healthy. But there's something that I've realized, and I realized this morning, I have absolutely no problem with being called Dylan's wife. It is, what an honor. What an honor, what a joy. I don't lose my identity in that. I don't lose my value in that. I don't become obsolete in that, but I am Dylan's wife. And that is something that I am very proud of and very grateful for. And I feel that it is God's gift to my life. To allow that to be part of my identity is just the kindness of God. And as I was driving and praying and just speaking some things out this morning, I actually felt, you know, there are many instances in the Bible where there are unnamed women. They don't have a name. They could be, you know, I printed off a list of all the women in the Bible. And a lot of them are unnamed. There's Micah's mother, Manoah's wife, Gilead's wife, Gideon's wives, the Midian woman, the wife of her dad, there's Lot's wife. You know, there's a lot of unnamed women, and I was thinking as I was driving, I could never say this before, but I can say this today. I'm happy to be known as Dylan's wife. If that's how I went down in history and was written about, that would be pretty amazing. What an honor. What a joy. And like I said just now, that didn't happen in my heart because, you know, Dylan was a better husband, or he gave me more stuff, or I decided that I wanted to nullify my purpose and value. That didn't happen because of those things. That happened because I have a revelation of my value, that I'm so valuable to God, that titles don't, they actually don't matter. But there are some that are a great honor and privilege, and I'm so that he would give me something so beautiful is really quite astounding to me. Like, I must be a favorite of God to have been esteemed in this way, and I'm so grateful. Genuinely, I'm so grateful. I haven't even told Dylan any of this, to be honest. He knows that I tell him a lot of things that I think about him. I'm very passionate about not only putting things out in public, but making sure that if I do that, so I will share this with him. But I think we have to believe first and foremost that God knows our name if we're going to be okay with living unnamed. And I think I've had this realization today that I'm so known by God. Like, I'm one of his favorites. I'll never forget Craig Clark said, we were wrestling through this idea once, like, does God have favorites? He said, yep, and I'm definitely one of them. And I wondered what it would look like for us to live. I feel like I've literally arrived at this moment where I live not like with this sense of I must be one of God's favorites. Like, he loves me so much. And the truth is, he loves you too in the same way. You're one of God's favorites. He loves us. He loves us. He pours out his favor upon us. And part of the favor that I live in is I'm Dylan's wife. And it's no small thing. And it's beautiful. And I can say that with such humility and joy, because being Dylan's wife doesn't make me less test. I'm more who I am today because of my marriage and what it's imparted to me. And is it perfect? No. Are we a messy, imperfect, figure it out on the way kind of pair? Yes. Is working together straightforward? No. Do we always agree? No. Are we both strong in our opinions? Yes. And yet, none of that detracts from the fact that I am so absolutely grateful for him. And that the reality is being his wife has placed the boundary lines of my life in pleasant places. I know that. And I'm grateful for it. And so I want to make sure that in this moment, he knows that. But more so than that, I just give glory to God for the work he's done in my heart. Because I could not say that 10 years ago. I could not have said this. No ways. No way. Not happening. Like, I wanted my own story and identity. And did I love my husband? Yes. Did I want to build something beautiful together? Yes. But there was this wrestle in me to make sure that people knew that I was Tess. Now I'm like, it would be an honor if they never knew that at all. And all they knew of me was Dylan's wife. I'm okay with that. You might not be, and that's totally okay. It's actually okay. I just think it's beautiful to look back at growth and feel a sense of, wow, like, look what God did here. Look what Jesus did. Look what he rescued me from. What a kind father. So I want to read to you from John 1. Because remember, if we're going to figure out our value, we must remember all the time. Keep telling yourself, story is not about me. And when the story is not about us, we find our value in something else, in God. And that's why I've said before many times, the story is about him. Everything we read is about him. We are grafted into his vine, his story. In the beginning, says in Genesis, God. In the beginning, God. It starts with him, and let me tell you, it's going to end with him. And so when we have a revelation of that, we then find our value from something other than ourself and our identity and our purpose. And then you can get to the point where I feel like I've arrived at today, where I'm like, I don't need any of that. I am content and honored and grateful just to be able to say, like, I am his wife. I'm happy to be known, more than happy to be known as that. So let's read here. I'm going to read from the Eugene Peterson's Message translation, as it says it so beautifully. John 1, everything was created through him. The story is about him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. So you came into being because of him. That is truth. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. I've said this before, I want to be known as a woman who lived true from start to finish, regardless of what's happening around me, regardless of the titles given to me, regardless of the accolades attached to my name. I want to live true start to finish. And how do we live true? We must draw our identity and value from the truth. We're going to get tripped up if we hold on to our truth. Yes, we have truth. There are things that we believe. There are feelings that we feel. There are values that motivate us, but they are human in their form. If I am going to stand strong and true for all of time in who God has created to be, I must base all of myself, everything that I am, everything that I become, everywhere that I go, in him. He is the truth. My truth will trip me up because it's human. It's human. And so I do not base my identity and value, I do not draw my identity and value on my own truth about myself, my accolade, my title, my opinions, my belief system. I draw it from him. He is the truth. And it says that Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is the one that leads us to the Father. And so when we allow ourselves to pull from him as truth, what do we come into contact with him? The Father. The Father is where we draw our true identity. And in our true identity from the Father, we are more than enough. And therefore, it doesn't matter what people call us, how they remember us, what we do, where we end up, we are valuable. And it's in that inherent knowing that we can then minister that value to the woman that we encounter in our world. Amen.